All right, Cliff Kingsbury is out. Mutual parting of the ways. Interesting. I was just reading John Kimes' column from ESPN, and even he said it. Mutual parting of the ways with Cliff Kingsbury. They fired Joe Witt. I've been calling both firing. I'll stick with that. Whatever. Cliff Kingsbury was not coming back. I think we all saw the writing on the wall. One thing that John put out in his column that certainly has been a story point, or I should say a talking point, but I didn't realize it was this much of a divide. The Commanders ran 349 more no-huddle plays than any other team in the NFL. Now, we knew they ran a lot of no-huddle tempo, all that. And for years and years and years, I was calling for tempo by design, by non-traditional design. Not in the final 2 minutes of the half of the game, but like, you know, your offense is sleepy, 11 minutes left to go in the second quarter, come out and run a little tempo. Come out. I didn't want it all the time. I wanted it some of the time. I wanted it not by design, not by game clock necessity. Cliff believed the other way. Limit substitutions, tire a team out, keep the same personnel on the field, stretch them. But that's hard to run. It's hard to run. As Chip Kelly and the Eagles found out, as Chip Kelly and every offense has found out, when Chip Kelly used ultra turbo, no huddle, bing, bang, boom. The problem is it only works when it is highly efficient. When it is highly efficient. Last year, the Commanders were fifth. I think it was fifth in yards, seventh in points, or seventh in yards, fifth in points, whatever it was. It worked. It worked. This year, they were in the 20s in both of those areas. Now, again, injuries, a lot of that. But when you don't have your guys and you don't have what you would prefer, you have to change and bend a lot of things. And Cliff did start changing some things. I remember being at the Sunday night Seattle game, the one, you know, the one that Jaden got hurt in again. They were under center for a good portion of the early part of that game. That was the first time we had seen it. Really. Sufficiently. And then you saw it more with Marcus Mariota and Josh Johnson because they're more comfortable. But I truly don't believe this is like one thing. I don't believe it's, oh, he didn't stick to the run enough. Or he didn't run the ball, he didn't want to run the ball. It's not true. Cliff wanted to run the ball. Cliff just didn't stick to it and have the ultra belief in it. And listen, they don't have a stud. So you can't say, well, you know, look, he had Jahmyr Gibbs and he didn't use him. He had Derrick Henry and he didn't use him. They don't have that guy. But here's the thing about the no-huddle tempo, by design, fast-paced offense, it only works when you're efficient on offense, which they're not, and it only works when your defense is good, which they're not, or creates turnovers, which they don't. Period. End of story. End of story. All right. Let's get back to you on the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll get to DC in a sec. I want to see a little more life on the phones, guys. The Commanders fired both of their coordinators less than a year after playing in the NFC Championship game. Is this too much too soon? Is this absolutely what they should be doing after a 5-12 season? I can't imagine anybody has a problem with them firing Joe Witt. I'm, again, slightly surprised that if Dan Quinn considers staying on as the play caller, which I guess there's a report out, I think it was Nikki that had it, that they plan to hire a defensive coordinator to call the plays, but all options are on the table. Whatever. I thought maybe Joe Witt would stay around in some capacity, but, I mean, listen, you can't have him as the defensive coordinator, right? There's nobody else on the staff, quite honestly. that's ready to be a defensive coordinator, in my opinion. Ken Norton has been one. I guess you could say that. But really, who are we kidding? I mean, if you know, no offense to Ken Norton, but it's not like the linebackers have been great either. And if he was so good in DQ's eyes, then DQ would have given him the keys. All right, let's get back to the phones. 301-230-0980. Little is with us. Little, how are you?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Hello,
Shout out to A-Mac. Yeah, shout out. Happy New Year to you, Roots. Shout out to A-Mac. And I got one for Cowboy B before we get off the line.
Okay.
I know my man, I know Coach laughing out loud because my man for Largo say, I don't listen to Kevin no more, but damn, 5 seconds later, he say he tell you everything Kevin talking about today. But let me say this, Lou Rooster. There are good omens and bad omens in your life, period. Good omens was we saw plays working in the running game, using as a parable the Chargers game. We saw the counter trade twice, bust Bill inside the 30. And guess what? We saw it in the Kansas City game when he pulled Tussle, and Bill went up the middle behind Tussle for 30 yards. Guess what? He didn't go back in none of them plays the whole rest of the season. It's stuff like, if I see that at home, don't you think Peter see it too? Let me say you the bad omens. The bad omens was he wasn't consistent in the running game when the plays that was working for him. And don't you think Peter see that? I ain't worried about Daniels, some of the calls he called, like the quarterback plays, and, you know, all that stuff, off tackle. You don't do that for a quarterback that's under 195 pounds somewhere. You scrap all them plays out your scrapbook. And guess what? Hopefully, now hear me out, Cowboy B, because Mike McCarthy's offense, Dallas is still running it. I hope we get Mike McCarthy, because guess what? He's going to turn his back to the defense at least 80% of the time. And that's what Dak doing. That's what the kid up in Denver doing. And that's what the kid up in New England doing. That 2 seconds that you turn your back to the defense, Rooster, man, I'm telling you, I played safety in high school. You don't know what the hell is going on with a quarterback when he turns his back to the defense. It's common sense football. And if this will be seeing now that's going around in the league. And the play, and guess what? How many times in the no-holder offense did he call a running play? Guess what, Rooster? Zero. How many traps did he call in the whole season? 12. How many draws did he call in the Packers game when they was coming off the line of scrimmage? Just killing the boy off the line of scrimmage. Not one trap play. That slows the defense down. Am I right or wrong? Come on, man. It's common sense football, Rooster. You've been around long enough. I can't wait to talk to the legend. It's common sense football, big fella. Cowboy B, don't be surprised if we hire Mike McCarthy as an offensive coordinator. And guess what? He would be the highest paid offensive coordinator in the league. And don't be surprised we reach out to Lovie Smith on the defense side of the ball. Hey, Rooster, guess what?
All right.
God bless you. God bless you all. Stay up, man.
All right. Thank you. Mike McCarthy was on my list. I haven't brought him up yet. Mike McCarthy, if he doesn't get a head coaching position, absolutely could. Remember, the roles were reversed in Dallas. He was the head coach. Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator. I mean, I'm not saying he will, but he absolutely could. If Mike McCarthy doesn't get a head coaching position. Cowboy Bob, you got something to say about this?
Mike McCarthy stinks as a play caller. That offense is not
innovative. Cowboy Bob, you've already established that you hate all coaches.
That's not true.
That is very true. Is there one coach that you like?
I like Schottenheimer. I like Ben Johnson, you know, the Shanahans of the world.
Okay.
Kubiak, he's cool. I like Mike McDonald.
Okay. All right.
But, Mike McCarthy, he's not a good play caller. His offense is not creative at all. Unless you want to see 15 routes of dudes running up the field and just turning around all game, you should not want Mike McCarthy to call.
I'm not telling you I want him. I'm just telling you he would absolutely be in consideration if he doesn't get a head coaching job.
Honestly, I don't think Mike is a bad head coach, but as a play caller – you might want to get something.
I think I think you're looking for people that I your list of guys that you supposedly like is more than fair. Those guys have tremendous success and whatever. But honestly, like, if you watch Matt LaFleur or even Sean McVay, right? It's not like they're reinventing the wheel, right? They're not.
The thing is, Mike McCarthy's using the old invention of the wheel.
That's fair. That's fair.
The wooden one.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Let's go to D.C. in Calvert County. What's up, D.C.? How are you, pal?
Russell, all is well, man. Happy New Year. Long time no talk.
I know.
Man.
Where you been, baby? Where you been?
Man, look, I think it all started when you got sick in Spain and threw up. And it took you a while, and you've been, you know, not feeling so good. I'm glad you're better now. Let me say that, too.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
I've been sick ever since Spain, too. No
really?
Problem, brother. I think I've been sick.
Are you serious? I mean, so it's so weird, right? Like, I don't know exactly what it has been for you, but, yeah, I've had a couple of...
I'm talking about the team. I'm saying the team. My apologies.
I got you.
The team, man.
I got you. You're not physically sick. You're sick over the team. No, I got you. No. Okay.
But I can feel your pain, though. Right. I can feel
I
your
got
pain,
you.
And I'm glad you're better.
Thank you.
But honestly, the two guys that I want are probably going to be hard to get. Flores out in Minnesota, and then LaFleur with the Rams. I know that it's probably very hard to get. But I also would look into Dable offensively because he's available, and I know he'll run the ball. You know what I mean? That's some of his makeup, and that's what we need to get back to, especially with a defense that's going to be having a lot more young pieces and, you know, protecting them as well as having Flores, if it's possible, to have them get some turnovers and put pressure on the other team defense. And I specifically want him because of his ability to be creative and trying to stop or doing his best to stop the tush push, man. I like the idea, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, I missed part of that. You're talking about Brian Flores, correct?
Yeah, from Minnesota.
Yeah, I can't imagine Brian Flores leaves Minnesota, even though his contract is up, for anything other than a head coaching position, and he's been prominently mentioned in Vegas, right? So I don't think that's happening here. But I would say this: if you're going to hire, if somehow, some way, Brian Flores said, "Nah, you know what? I'll go to Washington in kind of a lame duck situation and take $4 million a year or $5 million a year or whatever the case might be and get a big raise from maybe whatever he's making, a minute, which could be the only way I could see him making essentially a lateral move. To me, I'm not trying to hire him because of a tush-push defense. I'm trying to hire him because he's hard as bleep to figure out for an opposing quarterback. Oh, not impossible, but hard as bleep to figure out.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying his creative, like, he's hard to figure out, but he's also creative. He's willing to try different stuff to stop
gotcha.
Things. Yeah, no, he's a great D coordinator, but I just was pointing out, like, he came up with something to try to stop that, and I
gotcha.
Didn't see any other coaches other than Louvu making the attempt to jump over the pile, but I didn't see any, like, strategic stuff that coaches have tried to do to stop it.
Right. Well, what coach was it that just a couple of weeks ago had their guy? Was it Buffalo? I can't remember what game it was. Or maybe it was Flores in Minnesota.
Yeah, it was Flores where they were sideways.
On the guy side. Okay, yeah. So that was the game.
But you want to know what's special about that too, Russell?
Right.
The way he had his man line up, you know, people say they jump off sides a lot. And you, the way that D lineman was, you could tell if they jumped off sides. Because he was right at the line of
yeah.
scrimmage, and he was sideways. You know what I mean?
I got you. I got you. I mean, again, you know, I can't – just like I can't imagine he would go to Dallas, but if he doesn't get a head coaching job, which would only, in my opinion, be because of the outstanding lawsuit that he still has, that would be the
okay.
only reason. I can't imagine him – taking a lateral move unless there's some sort of significant raise or unless he's gambling on the fact that, hey, man, I'll get the big raise, I'll turn around the defense, and then they'll hire me as a head coach you know, as the interim head coach, if things don't work out here, and then I'll take over. I don't see that, but maybe I'm missing something. But I would love it for intrigue. DC, I got to let you run. I appreciate you. It's good to hear from you as
good
always.
Good to see you, brother.
Appreciate you. We got to take a break so we can stay on track, so we can get more calls in, and all of that. Keep the line moving. 301-230-0980. I'm going to give you. I've been trying to compile a list of all sorts of possible names that other members of the media have been throwing out there that I have on my list that have been mentioned by callers, tweeters, whatever. I'm going to start giving you some names off that list as we go along here when we return. Not all the names, some of the names. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, 23 minutes after the hour, we continue along. Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt, both out. Not surprised, obviously, about either or. Maybe the timing. As I mentioned earlier, last hour, I thought they would allow Cliff Kingsbury to look around for a head coaching job. And then if he didn't get one, then they would fire him. But they decided to do it today. Can't say I'm surprised. Here's a tentative list of offensive coordinator candidates that have been suggested and or reported. And in which case, I'll try and give you who mentioned it specifically, reported it, what have you. All right, so Grant Paulson mentioned Brian Daboll, the former Giants head coach, Grant Yudinski, the current offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. Now, what I don't know is if a guy gets play calling duties here, which is pretty clear he would, and he's currently an offensive coordinator with another team, and he's under contract, is that, you know, like how that works? If he's not under contract, then that's a whole nother thing, and I don't know. But Grant Yudinski, from Jacksonville, Brian Daboll, Tommy Rees, who's been up in Cleveland. Of course, Kevin Stefanski, who was fired yesterday, likely to get a head coaching position, but again, you just don't know. In-house, Anthony Lynn, David Blau. I mentioned Mike McCarthy. Tweeter, I forget who, sorry, I didn't write it down, mentioned Thomas Brown, who has bounced around to a number of teams over the last couple of years, but was once highly, highly thought of. Out of the McVay tree, JT Barrett, I lost track of him, sorry, I don't know where he is. Then I think it was Ryan Fowler mentioned Rams pass game specialist Nate Shilhas. I've heard the name. I don't know anything about him other than a pass game specialist with Sean McVay. Got to figure something. But that didn't work for Zach Robinson. Everybody seemed to hate him. Just because you come from McVay doesn't mean you're super smart or super ready. Chiefs pass game coordinator Joe Blaymeyer. Never heard of him. Jaguars quarterback coach Spencer Whipple. Giants interim head coach Mike Kafka. Broncos pass game coordinator Davis Webb. And then I'm going to give you a bunch of other names that I've come up with after we knock down a few more calls. And then we got to get to the defensive side as well. Let's get to Dr. Sabah making a special appearance here on a Tuesday with the coordinators out. Hello, Doc. How are you?
Hey there. Oh, Christopher, I've been missing you. I have been so slammed. I got a few minutes, and I was like, first of all, I want to say happy birthday to Pete. I missed that day.
Okay.
And then I'm wishing you the best health.
That's you know, okay. I talked to Brenda last night, and she was very appreciative of – you know, of everything, and obviously still going through a really, really difficult time. And yesterday was, you know, another tough day of many,
oh, yeah.
You know, between Christmas and her birthday. and yeah, upcoming one-year anniversary, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, I just like that he has my Washington Lee ODAC championship basketball sweatshirt that I gave him. So I think that's really cool. Hopefully maybe his daughter will wear it or something like that. But he was awesome, so I just missed him. So anyway, but I didn't get a chance to call in and say that. So about this Jaden, I was calling I called Doc last night. I'm tired of this coaching staff. The guy who needs to go is the head coach. Okay, impossible to GM. DQ said that the reason he feels so confident about next year is because of the culture and how the locker room is really good. No, I want more like Philly, where the locker room isn't good and they keep winning because they're upset that they don't win by a lot. You know, they want to win by more, and they end up going to Super Bowls and winning them. The fact that this guy didn't bomb it before coming into the press conference yesterday is ridiculous, and everybody in the locker room should not be happy and kumbaya and love it here. They should hate it here because of winning four or five, whatever games we won. Oh, they're also giving excuses for their best player, you know, the quarterback. Oh, he didn't have all his receivers, and nobody has all their things, their receivers, their line, nobody. And now Cliff Kingsbury is the scapegoat. Well, of course he's a scapegoat because it looked like our backup quarterbacks looked just as good, if not better, than our starter. So you can't blame the starting quarterback as he's your franchise. So you got to let the coordinator go. And Mama Jackson there, she clearly knew that Cliff Kingsbury was fired. That's why she tweeted that thing yesterday. It's not a coincidence. They already know they're gone. They'll make it look good like we don't have anything to do with the decision. All this doesn't smell right with me, Chris. All of it. I think the GM's not good enough, and the head coach isn't good enough, and the coordinators were the fall guys. That's what I think. And it's still the jury's out about the quarterback. I don't know. But why didn't someone ask them, are they going to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft to give our quarterback a competition like every position should have? I'm curious about that.
Well, I mean, listen, you
don't have the guts to, that's why.
You want what, a competition between Sam Hartman and Jaden Daniels?
No, Sam Hartman's clearly not there, so okay. He needs to go. If they're not going to play him,
okay.
You need to draft somebody that you think is capable of pushing Jaden Daniels, because clearly the head coach isn't pushing him. So I don't know if the coordinator did and say there's no reason why you shouldn't play or you're not running my offense, because when Mariota was in there and when Josh Johnson was in there, the offense looked like an average offense. They ran the plays.
All right.
You can't keep scrambling on first down. You can't lead the league on first down scrambles when you played six games.
Here's part of the problem, though. Here's part of the problem. I get it that Jaden Daniels regressed this year. To me, how they're going to get him better is by getting an offensive coordinator that stresses getting rid of the football on time, in rhythm, and immediately on a check down, if that's the best option.
Well, it looked like Josh Johnson did some of that, didn't
well,
he?
Well, yes, but Josh Johnson also has, but they also have a lot of experience. Jaden doesn't have that yet. So that's why it was so important.
You tell me they're better quarterbacks than Jaden.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, I said they have a lot more. They have a lot more experience.
Okay, well, there's a lot of people. Jacoby Brissett has a lot of experience.
Jaden needs experience to match his talent. Jaden needs experience to match his talent. That's what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, all I know is he needs to not be enabled. That's what I'm saying, and that's where Quinn is the problem, and Peters. They are the problem.
All right. I love you, Doc. I disagree, but, we can argue this all offseason.
That's what Daniel's for, to disagree respectfully.
All right.
And I don't have no problem with all the people going to call and disagree with me, just respectfully. We all have a right to our opinion, and we're all in this together.
I understand that, and that's why we love you. Thank you, Doc. We have breaking news on the Commanders. New breaking news on the Commanders. Why don't we do a trending alert and give it to you right here, right now? All right, according to Diana Rossini and Nikki Javala, both of The Athletic, the Commanders have fired their offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson. Which is strange and interesting because, as some have pointed out on Twitter, hey, the offensive line was probably their best unit, their best position group. But it also could signal a change in terms of scheme and what they're trying to hire as a new offensive coordinator. Bobby Johnson out after 2 years. Remember when he was hired here, he was a very unpopular hire because the Giants' offensive line had allowed a lot of sacks. I would say Bobby Johnson did a pretty good job over the 2 years here in Washington. But nevertheless, he is reportedly out as offensive line coach of the Washington Commanders, according to The Athletic. Meanwhile, earlier today, of course, you had Cliff Kingsbury, they call it a mutual parting of the ways, Joe Witt firing. Either way, the Commander is going to be now looking for two new coordinators and a new offensive line coach at the very minimum. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins had his deal with the Atlanta Falcons reworked. They're going to have a key decision to make by the third day of the league year. The Cowboys have reportedly fired defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, citing a change needed in the leadership. And, of course, that's going to mean they'll have a fourth defensive coordinator in three-plus seasons when they open up off-season workouts. Again, from college football, Thursday night, the Fiesta Bowl. Ole Miss and Miami. Looks like Charlie Weiss Jr., who is, of course, leaving for LSU, but has been staying around and coordinating the offense for the Ole Miss Rebels, is going to coach for Ole Miss in the national semifinal game. There was some conjecture that he would not. Tonight at Capital One Arena, the Washington Wizards, will they have the rest of their team? Will some of it be in transition? Could they make a trade for Trae Young in between? We will see. Stay tuned. 106.7 The Fan against the Orlando Magic. Pregame coverage at 6:45, and that's what's trending. All right, so the Commanders have reportedly fired offensive line coach Bobby Johnson as well, according to Nikki Javala, Diana Rossini. That one is getting a lot of conjecture on Twitter, people not understanding why. And quite honestly, I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know if there was a personality conflict. I would tell you this, Bobby Johnson, he is a very, very, very strong-minded personality. Very strong-minded personality. There could have just been a personality conflict. Don't know. Because the offensive line was the best unit of the team, right? What unit was better than the offensive line? Which unit? Go ahead, name them outside of special teams. Go ahead. You can't. By performance, best unit, period. So, you have that. I mentioned there would be some more names that I would bring along, right? Besides, again, a bunch of the names that we've already mentioned. Denton Day had one that was interesting. Mike Denbrook, who's Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, who was Jaden Daniels' offensive coordinator at LSU. And Marcus Freeman staying, but it's not like Marcus Freeman seems like he's staying at Notre Dame forever. So Denbrook could be looking at, well, I could get the head coaching job there, or I could go to the NFL with a guy that knows me, with a guy that I like, presumably. Possible. So that's a new entry. As well, Ryan Fowler, again, mentioned Rams coach, quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone, who was here for a little while, was obviously working under Sean McVay. Some names that I've mentioned or that I think are in play, Brian Flurry, San Francisco coordinator, run game coordinator, and tight ends coach. I think it's too early, but he's been the pass game coordinator and the wide receivers coach for the San Francisco 49ers. You know who that is? You remember former third-round pick in 2011? Leonard Hankerson. You have coaches on Kyle Shanahan's staff with much more experience that were also here during those years. Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach, who, you know, some of you might remember from a controversial incident in Miami. And Bobby Turner, I think probably not what they're looking for here. But if you're looking to run the ball more, if you're looking for more ball control, more efficiency, more under center, if you're looking for more stretch and play action and zone, maybe that's why you fire Bobby Johnson. And maybe you're looking at, oh, by the way, bringing in San Francisco guys. Not saying that that will happen. But again, remember where Adam Peters came from. And remember who Dan Quinn has enormous respect for. And remember who put Adam Peters and Dan Quinn together. Kyle Shanahan and San Francisco. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Lap. What up, Lap? How are you?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Rooster?
How are you, Lap?
Like I was saying with Kevin earlier, man, this is just some trash, man. This is disappointing. I have no faith and confidence in this new coaching regime. They don't seem to know what they're doing. They don't have no plan. You know, I guess it's good that we had the season we had because it's exposing a lot. You know, you don't really seem to have a plan. You want to depend on Jaden as a Superman, you know what I'm saying, to save us. You know, and he's got to be smart. He's got to protect himself. You know, we have to really get a competent offense and defensive scheme together with the coaching searches, which is crazy. I mean, we're going in year three. We're about to get, you know, new coordinators. And now our offensive line coaches is gone now, too. I mean, this is crazy. And I told you, on the jump, I'm going to say it again. I didn't trust Dan Quinn. Look at his track record. The last 5 years been horrible. When he was with Dallas and two here, you know what I'm saying? Other than the NFC, but we still got punished in the title game.
I think I heard you with Sheehan this morning. And how do you get terrible with Dan Quinn in Dallas? How does that happen? I mean, because he was coordinator for one game, his final game against Green Bay, and they got shredded?
No, he got trashed by 49ers twice and Green Bay.
Yes. And Buffalo. I remember all that. Yeah, they could not stop the run. They really struggled. You're right to say that, but overall to say that they were trashed and that he was horrible and that he was this and he was that, that is a complete mischaracterization. That is not fair. Their defense was not good in those specific games, and you're right. Teams ambushed them with the run. No problem admitting
Mike
that.
Shanahan
but they
tree.
Were not. They were Mike number Sh- one. They were number one in turnover differential. Number one in turn. In turnovers, takeaways over a 3 year span. Number one across the board in the NFL.
Okay, Rooster. But you're gonna you guys always try to make excuses.
No, it's not excuses. It's true.
Let me get my point out. Yes, those defenses forced turnovers. Yes, they were good. But as we know, Dan Quinn's defenses struggle against Mike Shanahan tree offenses. So he got destroyed in the playoffs. And in the NFC title game with us, he got destroyed. And then now this year, we're going to make excuses because of the injuries, the lack of talent, and all this other stuff.
In the NFC Championship game that was a one-score game start of the fourth quarter.
Yes, it was.
I still think
somebody got paid off because there's no way that we – five turnovers, man. Come on, man. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, but, it happened. Yeah, nobody got paid off. Yeah, they were bad with the football.
But, Rooster, this year you don't make an adjustment to later on the defense and you're calling the defense when we've been getting trash, you know, what, five, six games straight? Come on, man. Like, you guys are like – making excuses for this guy, but he doesn't even know how to make decisions within stuff. This is obvious. We're not coaching. We're fans.
Last year he made good decisions. This year he made bad decisions, right? Is that what we're saying?
Well, it was predicated on Jaden Daniels' success. Jaden Daniels really carried his cup.
Dan Quinn didn't do it all by himself. Dan Quinn had to put it all together, change the culture, get everybody to buy in.
But they're trying to lean on Jaden Daniels without really having a plan. And if you see, you don't have a plan because Jaden Daniels
they had a plan last year, but they didn't have a plan this year. I'm confused.
You're not going to have a plan to counter if Jaden Daniels is not on the field. I mean, let's keep it.
How many teams?
Everybody wants to see Jaden Daniels play. We're fans regardless, right. Okay. But we're not. We don't care about the team unless Jaden Daniels is on the team.
All right. Well, thank you, Lem. Appreciate it. I gotta go. We don't care about the team unless Jaden Daniels is on the field. I mean, it makes no sense. Makes no sense. I mean, you want Jaden Daniels on the field because he's the best quarterback they have. I mean, it's the same whatever Dr. Sabat was saying, and I completely disagree. Jaden Daniels has a lot of improvement to make. There is no quarterback battle here. Jaden Daniels needs to get better, and he needs to stay healthy, and he knows that. He admitted that yesterday. But he is the best that they have. This is not like, well, you know, 50-50 flip of the coin. Both are good. Both are bad. No. Not even close. All right. Got to take a timeout. We will get to the rest of you. Hang tight. Be patient. We'll get to Jason and Laura, Chris and Marilyn, Kareem and DC, and more. 301-230-0980 on the Team 90. All right, good to have you with us. Right back to the phones we go. Just ask you to, again, be as brief as we possibly can because we've got full lines as everybody wants to come in. And, again, the latest news, in case you're just joining us, is Bobby Johnson, the Commanders' now former offensive line coach, has also been let go, first reported by The Athletic, confirmed by others since. And that's a kind of a strange one, unless they've got one specific philosophy and coach in mind, and I think it would be more philosophy, i.e. outside zone stretch, as opposed to one specific person. But again, it kind of couples with my thought that they very much could look at San Francisco for a new offensive coordinator who wants to run the Kyle Shanahan scheme, and then it would be a matter of finding the right offensive line coach. All right, let's get to our buddy Jason and Laurel next up. What's up, Jace? How are you?
What's up, Rooster? How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, I like you, like that press conference yesterday. Oh, staff's 100% DQ. I was like, yep, he's getting his hand out of this.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good about it. And I'm disappointed. It's not to say that I 100% always agreed with Cliff's offense. But I think what we can say is that, I mean, it was a very efficient, professional offense that even when he didn't have the best players available to him, he still moved the ball, even with his down to his third-string quarterback. And I think the relationship him and Jaden have is going to be hard to replace. And I think for either coordinator's position, I don't know that I'd want to take any of these jobs if I was an aspiring coordinator. It's going to be tough with this job because he had such a good communication with Cliff. And the DC, what talent do we have on this defense? And I think, Chris, I think the whole lame duck thing is about right. And I think DQ's definitely on the hot seat now because this is crazy.
He absolutely is, which is going to make it harder to get high-quality offensive and defensive coordinators because people are going to look at just that. Hey, if I leave whatever my situation is, unless I'm expiring contract and I don't really have a good position here or a good situation here and I might be fired here or, you know, whatever – you know, then you can get somebody. But if you're talking about, like, you know, getting the cream of the crop, whoever you define as the cream of the crop, and here's another problem. I don't know if there is, like, I don't believe you're getting Kevin Stefanski even if he doesn't get a head coaching job. Like, why would Kevin Stefanski come here and take an offensive coordinator position? To me, the only reason why he would do that is, oh, hey, DQ might get fired. I could make, you know, really good money And then maybe become the interim head coach and maybe take over as the full-time head coach. That's it. But that's a lot of maybes and ifs if you're a coach that has any leverage at all, any pull, any push.
Yeah. The only reason Stefanski comes here if he wants DQ's job, but the clock's ticking on him now. Chris, I love the show. Hate this move, but I guess we'll see what we get.
Yes.
Take care, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you. Let's squeeze in. Let's go to Kareem in D.C. here before the top of the hour. Kareem, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, Kareem?
Hey, man. Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thank you.
You know, it's been a tough season, but I got to say something, man. I've been watching. I'm calling based on frustration. I'm an avid listener. I'm happy to listen. I usually don't, you know, think to chime in. But I've been listening to a lot of commentary that's directed at the coaching staff, the players, all that stuff. All of these issues have stemmed from Adam Peters. Please don't forget that he was a rookie GM going into last season as well. I know he's given a veneer of polish. He comes from a very prestigious background. But let me tell you something. His timeline has not been good ever since he made this gamble for Marshon Lattimore. He gave up 3 picks in last year's draft, a 3rd, a 4th, and a 6th for a developmental team that needs to build on their defense. He gave up Jeremy Chinn for who knows why. He gave up our best pass rusher to Dallas, didn't address our pass rusher. Reminder, last year, Washington was one of the most desirable destinations for free agents. Instead, he was bargain basement with absolutely every decision. And as a result, he didn't even want to pay Terry. So we didn't have Terry for the first, 4 weeks of the season. We paid Debo to be a complimentary player, but ooh, you're forced into being the number one. Then Jaden has to run more. And then the young running back that you're putting all this pressure on doesn't even have a deep threat. So how does he get out of the box? And then all of a sudden, it's Cliff Kingsbury's fault? He didn't know what he's doing? There's definitely more onus on this defense being a disaster. Mm-hmm. But even if Joe Witt didn't know what he was doing, Adam Peters did nothing to help him. We needed a pass rusher. Fans were waiting for a Myles Garrett move, maybe a Hendrickson out of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Some big splash. Nothing. Instead, you got bargain basement players, older players, yep. And need I remind you, in 2 years, I agree. The first year, I appreciated bringing the Wagners and the players to reassess the culture for the team. But by the next year, you have a rookie quarterback who's sensationalized. You're lucky to have him on a rookie contract. You have so much God money, and people want to come play for you. NFL gives you all these primetime games for that reason. He dropped the bag. He's the one at fault for this season, and I don't think it's fair that all of a sudden all these coaches are being turned into mirror mode where we're being told they don't know how to coach, these players don't know how to play. Need I remind you again, we didn't even have him for a month because of how many million dollars?
Yeah.
How petty was that situation?
Let me jump in here, Kev, because you make some really, really strong points. You make some points.
It's been burning me, bro.
I hear you. Call back in again, please, so we have, you know, when we have a little more time. But yeah. Really strong points. I'm with you that a lot of this falls – I'm not saying all of it. A lot of this does fall on Adam Peters, and we talked about that.
At the top. No, yeah. It's on this man right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a lot of decisions in his hand.
No doubt.
And a lot of money to play with. Made those decisions. That's on him.
Yep. No doubt. Appreciate you. Happy New Year. Call back again when we have a little more time. We've got to take a timeout for the top of the hour. More calls, more reaction to come right here on the Team 980. Stay with us.